Welcome back to the Nerdcast podcast. This is Jay. The podcast has been on a hiatus for a few weeks because I was in the process of moving, so I didn't really record anything, didn't do anything with Matt or Tony. So last week I got back into it. I went over to Center Ice Brewing and talked to the head brewer there, Bill McFarland. Bill talked to me a little bit about how he got into brewing, the technical background he's gotten from Clemson University, comparing home brewing to commercial brewing, and what they've got going on at Center Ice. The place is really cool. It's an ice hockey themed brewery. They've got a nice tap room right next to a great barbecue place. So listen to what Bill says, and I can tell you a little bit about their beer after the fact. We're going. So I'm here with Bill from Center Ice.
Yeah, very nice to be here and chatting with local folks.
Let's just jump right in. How'd you get into brewing?
So I got a degree in geochemical engineering. It was a lot of focus on math, science, all the good stuff, and yeah. I was taking a microbiology course on the fermentation of wine, beer, and cheese.
Yeah.
Wine takes way too long.
Yeah.
And I was a poor college student. Same goes with cheese. And so we talked about beer, and you know, I've always been a beer lover, and what that essentially launched me to do is kind of get more into craft beer. And I started drinking, you know, Mama's Yellow Pils by Oscar Blues and kind of like the easy drinking ones. And
yeah.
And so that kind of sparked my interest. And then from there, we took a research trip out to California and Oregon, and we spent about half the summer out there hiking up and drinking. And like, luckily my research advisor, who's a close friend of mine, he's a craft beer and hop head.
Okay.
This guy was like a nut, and in the best way possible, for
yeah.
sure. And so he pretty much threw me into all these like crazy beers out there, these double IPAs, and I was completely blown away.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was like, it'd be really cool if I could make this.
So what school was it?
So it was Clemson University.
Clemson,
down
okay.
in South Carolina.
Okay. So that trip to California then, I mean, did you hit all of California or what?
Yeah, most of it. So the entire trip is essentially the goal of it was to collect as many samples on top of mountains and stuff as we could. And so we'd go hiking all day
mm-hmm.
and climb and do all this stuff, have beer at the top for lunch, come back down and then just hang out and drink all day by the fire and like look at our samples and stuff.
Oh, that's very
and
cool.
So in between our spots that we were getting samples from, we would hit breweries, we'd hit brew pubs, and like that's when I was like, oh, this is really, really cool.
So what was the best place you hit out there?
Deschutes. Yeah, man, I fell in love with Fresh Squeeze.
Yeah,
immediately I had some of that and I was like, you know, to this day it's still my go-to IPA.
yeah,
for sure.
So then did you start with home brewing or did you just jump right in? And
yeah, it was I started with home brewing, and so pretty much once I got back to Clemson, I joined the Clemson Homebrew Club, mm-hmm. and so we started making small batches of 10-gallon beers for like events on campus for obviously those who can drink.
Yeah.
And a good buddy of mine, he had a 5-gallon set brew in a bag, and so I'd go do that. And from that point, it was pretty much me reading and absorbing as much as I could. So once I graduated college, I quit an engineering job after about 2 to 3 weeks. I was like, this is not for me. If I'm going to be a brewer, like I want to do it. So
yeah,
I jumped into home brewing. So I did maybe a total of 20 batches on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I reached out to damn near every brewery in about a 60-mile radius just to ask questions and
yeah.
just pester the hell out of them. And so I got an in with Morgan Street Brewing and Ferguson. And
mm-hmm.
essentially I was mainly volunteering my time and as an assistant brewer and
mm-hmm.
cleaning kegs and helping kind of where I could.
Yeah.
And so so from there I was just totally immersed in. And so, yeah, and then from there, so at Ferguson I was able to make 10-gallon batches. And I became obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Obsessed. Like every week I'd crank out something new and weird. And it was kind of a beautiful thing because, like, you know, my science background definitely helped me. I had the creativity that every home brewer has with these recipes, and they're always thinking
right.
and they're always evolving. And so, like, and I was a super amateur, so I really didn't know anything about
right.
building my own recipe. And, you know, some of that stuff was not the best beer I've ever made, but some of the most memorable, just because to me it was so like, it's mine, it's my idea. So it was definitely unique for me in that aspect, and I've loved every minute of it, you know.
So are you from St. Louis and then went to Clemson, or?
Kind of. So I was a military baby, so I bounced around. I was born in Oklahoma, moved to South Dakota, to Iowa. When I was in sixth grade, I moved to Edwardsville, and so went to middle school and high school there. Mm-hmm. I went to U of I right out of high school, and then I after a year, I transferred to SWIC, and because I kind of wanted to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was playing college baseball, and you know, it's kind of one of those realizations where I knew I wasn't going to make the show, so I was like, "Don't kid yourself," and finding out kind of what I wanted to do. And when I was at SWIC, I took a geology course, and I fell in love with it just because you can travel in the outdoors and everything. It's a fascinating subject, too. And so Clemson was, they have one of the top 15 programs in the country, and I reached out to them, and at this time I had two associate's degrees and a pretty good GPA, and luckily I got in.
Oh, wow.
From there. Yeah, so it was a hell of a ride. It was a lot of fun.
So did you work at, like, brewing at another place before you came here?
So I was the assistant brewer apprentice kind of at Ferguson and Morgan Street for a couple months, and during one of the festivals, actually Ferguson Brewing Festival that they have every year, and I met a guy named, his name's Mike Lundmark, and he is the owner and president of a place called Jekyll Brewing down in Atlanta.
Okay.
So I was fortunate enough to meet up with him, and pretty much we discussed opportunities, and it just kind of aligned. And so a month later, I was moving to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was the lead brewer for the second shift, so my shifts were 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And that it tests your love for what you're doing when you're working on overnight, you know what I mean? Because, but it was so much learning, and the structure and the people they surrounded me with over there is just nearly unmatched, and so I was able to just learn as much as I could and be around people that loved beer as much as I did.
So they're brewing 24 hours a day there?
Yeah, so it was we were filling 100 barrel fermenters with a 10 barrel system.
Wow.
Yeah, so like they went the model with kind of grow into your capacity rather than grow into your brew house. And now right before I left, they got a new 50 barrel system, which now they don't do 24 hours, so they don't need to. So, and they're probably pushing 12 to 15,000 barrels a year.
Yeah.
And so it's mass production, high quality beer in about three or four states. It was quite the doozy. It was very, the 10 barrel system was really hands on, very manual.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted something done, you get your ass down there and you're moving all the valves and you're stirring everything. And so, it was essentially just glorified home brewing and, you know, nothing sexy. And then the 50 barrel system was all automated. You hit a button, hit your measurements perfectly, and
a little bit different.
Yeah, you can wear a suit and tie and brew in that 50 barrel system.
But, wow.
Yeah.
So then did you come up here after that then?
Yes. So I came up here and I got in touch with Steve. I was able, so him and I, because I knew I wanted to come back up here, so my family was up here. And, you know, I was kind of in that point in my career where I was at Jekyll for over a year, and I've had about almost 2 years of experience professional brewing. So I was like, you know, I'd love a little more, you know, growth and creativity, so to speak. And Steve and I, we were able to connect. And so we spent about a little over a month discussed, like meeting up kind of consistently over that time and discussing our views and mindsets. And you know, so at that point when I came here, they'd been open for about 2 months, two and a half months. He pretty much opened me welcome arms. We're very like-minded. We're very creatively driven and focused and high quality stuff. And he pretty much said, like, I want you to be a big part of this. And that's kind of where we're at now.
So how is it different working in a production brewery versus doing the home brewing?
Oh, man, it's very, very different. Yeah. They both have fascinating aspects about diving into both. So like the production facility is like four hands. Like it's a well-oiled machine. Everything's running smooth and easy, and you know, you just have to continue to maintain the high quality, and it really allows you to really focus in on your techniques and your numbers, and because it's really hard making the same beer, you know, 50 times, the same consistency, the same ABV, like, you know, hitting your numbers. So it's challenging, you know, like, and it's the same thing with homebrewing. That's why, you know, meticulous notes, like I always say, brewers of all levels are scientists and they're artists. Yeah. And it really is the meshing between art and science. And, you know, that luckily we had one of the fastest selling IPAs down in Atlanta and just the South as a whole. So like, I'd probably say 90% of the batches I brewed down South were probably the same five beers.
Yeah.
And so, and then we had a one barrel pilot system, which every once in a while we can sneak away and make something on that. But like, we were so, so busy all the time. We just weren't able to squeeze away for a lot of creativity at that time.
Yeah.
And so now luckily they've been able to crank up their creativity and they're making some awesome beer.
Yeah.
And then on this level, it's a beautiful thing because we're taproom centric. And like right now we have, projects in the works for, canning some of our beer and selling out of our tap room in 16 ounces.
Yeah.
And then also we're kind of working with a few people at limited distribution.
Okay.
And so our main focus is tap room.
Yeah.
And so, it allows us to be as creative as possible.
Yeah.
We can essentially kind of make whatever we want. You know, we have our core beers right now with, the American Gold and the Grim Reaver Red IPA. We just added another one, which is the Brute IPA, the Beauty.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hit those in cans and kind of push them out of the tap room. And, you know, but being this small really allows you to dial in on your creativity, kind of like your vision and overall view on brewing.
Yeah.
As cheesy as it sounds, it really does. It challenges you in a way where, you know, we're so young, we're essentially at the startup brewery, and we're carving out our own niche, and one of those obviously has to be high quality, high-end craft beer. And it's challenging hitting such a fluid and creative market here in St. Louis, because everyone's making high quality beer, and you know, and so it definitely ups the standard, and you want the best of the best, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned niche. I was reading your blog and you had something about finding your niche. Have you found it yet, or any ideas?
We're in the process, and I think our niche, you know, our center ice brand, obviously it's geared towards hockey and sports, and some people might, some people embrace that. They say, like, oh, I'm a huge hockey fan, but maybe not a craft beer fan. So they come in, watch the game, have some beers, and then maybe, like, you know, the more complex palate, you know, the big beer nerds and, you know, who geek out over barrel-aged imperial stouts and those wonderful things, you know, maybe it might kind of scare some of those people away because, you know, we are hockey, and they say, well, I don't like hockey, so why should I go in, you know? And so one of the things that we're trying to implement is approachability, excitement, and at the same time we really do want to push creativity. And so I think our niche is going to be kind of having that balance between for welcoming and approachability for those who aren't accustomed to having 20 different craft beers on draft
when,
you know, that's not something they're into yet. So like, we would love to be that introductory brewery to it, you know, like, oh, you like, you know, if you love Budweiser, like, we have a beer that maybe caters to those, and, you know, it's a light, easier, not as complex beer, and you know, we also want to have those big, crazy, complex beers for those who geek out over it. And so we're working right now on upping our barrel aging program. We have 4 Buffalo Trace barrels right now. We're actually in the works with some stuff going on with Angel's Envy and a lot of things in the works. So it's very exciting. And so I think our niche is just going to be approachability.
Yeah,
our approachability and growth for sure.
So have you had those hockey fans coming in looking for a Bud Light or?
Oh, all the damn time.
Yeah.
And so our American Golden, it was designed to be our most approachable beer. So it sells about 3 or 4 to 1 right now. And so it's like a hybrid golden with Kolsch yeast and a little complexity from German and American hops. And it's light, complex, and citrusy. So for those who like a Budweiser or a Miller Lite or something like that, it very much drinks like that.
All right. Yeah. And so it's kind of made everyone happy coming in, the craft beer nerds.
Yeah.
And
then, you know, on top of that, the, like, you know, so we have that for you know, the average Joe who isn't a big craft beer guy. But then we also have the Brute IPA, which is an experimental IPA style that, you know, we're in the first 10 breweries in the country to make.
Okay.
You know, so, like, we still have those double dry hopped IPAs with XYZ.
Yeah.
And so, like, the excitability and approachability of all of those different facets of our creativity is, it definitely caters to everybody.
Yeah. So, were you big into hockey before you started working here?
You know, funny enough, I don't know anything about hockey.
Yeah.
So, like, but since I've gotten here, I've been able to work and meet a lot of NHL guys and the Blues alumni, and Steve's a big hockey nerd. And so I'm pretty much surrounded by huge hockey folks. And I love the atmosphere. I just don't know anything about it. So, like, me watching a game, I'm all about the fights and the momentum and the swings and the last minute shots and stuff like that. So I'm definitely getting into it quite a bit.
Yeah. So, how did the Ryan Reeves beer come about?
So Steve is our owner. He's very well connected with the Blues alumni. And, so Ryan Reeves in the locker room reached out to a player about home brewing. Mm-hmm. And immediately one of the alumni was like, "Hey, I know a guy."
Yeah.
Brought him to Steve. Steve invited him in to homebrew in his basement before this place opened.
Yeah.
They made a batch of beer and they talked beer. And so now it's funny enough, like, Ryan is a huge craft beer snob.
Yeah.
It is hilarious to see him be like, "Oh, I can't drink this." Like, you know, it's so funny, just from like 0 to 100, and he loves it. And so that recipe, it was envisioned by him, and he had this flavor and complexity and this character that he wanted to hit. And we brewed it on, or they brewed it on the small scale,
mm-hmm.
and it was one of the first batches we made up here, and he absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So, his idea, his mind, and so we just kind of made it happen. And so we're working with him on a few projects, and, you know, we'd love to have him back.
Yeah. Are there other players that are getting interested in it then, or?
Yes, we actually brewed with an NHLer that I can't really name right now, but he's from St. Louis.
Okay.
His beer is actually currently in the fermenter.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I guess I can't really talk about the project yet. Yeah. I'd love to. So we'll be announcing it very soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So watch social media for it.
Yes, please. Okay. Please watch social media for it. He's a young NHL guy. Super cool. We're very excited.
So I take it you're a baseball guy since you played in college.
Yeah.
So have you been able to reach out to baseball fans since hockey season's over over in St. Louis at least?
Yeah. And so one of our biggest successes in season was the Stanley Shuttle.
Yeah.
To and from games. And that was a huge success for us. And now what we did was we had that same concept, and now there's obviously, you know, the season is a little more packed with 180 games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we picked select seasons and select series to actually do our Stanley Shuttle for. And, you know, it's we released a sub-brand called the Center Field Series. And so we actually have a dry Irish stout right now called Stoutfield. So we cater a little bit to the baseball community, but obviously all of our eggs are mostly into hockey, for sure.
So is every night a Stanley Cup playoff game on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do those trump the Cardinal games here?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just a little bit.
I think it's much. So recently you went onto Facebook with some local homebrewers and were reaching out. So what's the homebrewing program that you're trying to get
so
going?
The homebrewing initiative that we have here is geared towards creativity, connectivity, and just learning. You know, I mean, there's the homebrewing community here in St. Louis is has a lot of substance to it, a lot of creative people who've been doing it for 20 years or a month or however many. And I think it's just a unique way of us being small enough to where we say, you know, we'd love to brew with you guys.
Yeah.
And so the Scott Kurtz, the president of the St. Louis Homebrewers Guild, and I were having a discussion because he was here for our Brewed IPA release, was geared towards having homebrewers in and working on our pilot system, which is 15 gallons. And essentially it's a way to connect with those who just want to see their beer in the tap room. Like, I mean, like, I know before I was fortunate enough to get into the industry, like, I just thought it'd be awesome to be like, I had an idea for a beer and I want to see it on draft. You know, this challenge, I think it's awesome. You know, like, you go to a tap room at a brewery and you're like, I came up with that beer, you know, like, it's just a cool feeling. And so we're small enough to be able to fortunately give people that opportunity for those who are interested. And, you know, and I think, it's our connectivity with that idea is this: we want to hear the homebrewer story.
Yeah.
We want to give them credit. This is their idea. This is something that we worked on as a collaboration, and this definitely isn't only Center Ice, only this. This is, it's St. Louis as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we just love to work with people like that who are passionate about the brewing process.
And so it looked like there was a pretty good response to it too.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, within about an hour, I had 30 to 40 people reach out to me, and so it kind of took me back a little bit. I was like, oh wow, like that's a lot of people. So my goal, the overall goal, is to have a designated tap here in the tap room geared towards homebrewers.
Okay.
And doing that, my goal is to work into my schedule one brew a week with the homebrewer.
Okay.
It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of organizing and things like that. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to meet a handful of them at Microfest, and the passion that these people have for homebrewing and just beer in general, is just, it blows me away.
Yeah. It sounds like an awesome program, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully my beer cuts it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So are there specific styles you're looking for, or anything like contrast what you do, or?
I mean, I'm a huge hophead, so like, but at the same time, I love experimentation. I love going with anything. And so there's a guy named Russell, and we're going to be doing a Hopfenweizen, which I've never made before.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and he brought me the idea, and he's like, hey, man, like I love this style of beer. And it's amazing. He told me his story, and we talked for 3 hours, and the guy was an outstanding guy, and he lived in Germany, and when he was, you know, before the age of five, he was hanging out at beer festivals and stuff, and it just blew me away. I was like, man, that's badass. Like, that's cool. And so in terms of styles, it's kind of up for anything. You know, I just as long as it's creative and kind of fun and you know, something new and challenging, like, let's make it, you know.
Oh, and it's good for homebrewers too to actually see the process more than
exactly
in your kitchen or driveway.
Yeah, and it's I think one of the unique things about it is, like, you know, it caters to any and all levels. I've had people who've been homebrewing for 26 years. I talked to a guy named Jeff. Mm-hmm. That's how old I am. He's been brewing my whole life, and I'm like, dude, you probably know more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then it's also caters to people who say, like, you know, maybe I've brewed 1 gallon batches, maybe 4 or 5 times. I don't know that much or whatever. And, you know, it allows them to learn more. And so it really is a win all around. And, you know, and kind of like I said earlier, learning about their story and their ideology is fascinating for me and us, you know?
Yeah. So when you're drinking, what's your favorite style?
I'm big, I go hophead, so I'd probably say IPA, you know, but right now I'm kind of in this like Pilsner kick.
Yeah.
I've been drinking a lot of Pivo lately.
Yeah.
That's this delicious beer. I'd say IPA is definitely
my What's your favorite of all of them?
Whew. You know, I'm still in love with Fresh Squeezed. Dogfish Head has the Flesh and Blood IPA, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
Mother's actually has, I can't remember what that beer's called. It's their New England IPA. And
Dreamsicle, or
it's
Daydream Chugsicle.
Yep, Daydream Chugsicle. That one is fantastic. Yeah. I probably had about 20 of those at Microfest this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, epic guy.
And so then what's your favorite to brew? I mean, I know there's not much variation between different styles sometimes, but...
Yeah, you know, some of the styles that, so I've brewed a lot of IPAs, and I love that for, there's so much variability with hop, you know, hop characteristics and blending and all this good stuff, and so an easy way to go would go the IPAs just for that reason, but a style that I really want to get into a little more is lagering, and I haven't really been able to tap into that quite yet.
Yeah.
But we do have plans right now for a handful of lagers. We have a Blood Orange Helles style in the works, and then we're going to make a lager version of our American Golden. And so it's a challenge for me because you can't hide anything in a lager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just as creativity is an outlet, it's for me, I also want it to be just as challenging. You know?
Right. All right. So what's the website, social media for the brewery?
Yeah, just Center Ice Brew, centericebrewing.com. We are on all platforms. We have a YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, pretty active. And so our social media, as you guys have probably, a lot of you guys have followed Steve with his vlogs. It's kind of unique compared to a lot of businesses and breweries in the area, is that he's launching his personal brand of entrepreneurship and philanthropy. Like he opened the Frozen Cup and... Mm-hmm. And so what we at Center Ice, kind of what we're going to do is geared towards a 3-layered system where we're going to have a Center Ice vlog, which is going to be updates on events, projects we're working on, shots in the back, and pretty much what we want to do is create a really personable way to connect with people who are interested. And so it's essentially we want to give people behind the scenes look of our team, our the brewing process, what we're doing, and essentially we kind of want people to feel like they work here.
Yeah.
They know us, you know what I mean? And then we're also going to have the Center Ice Show, which is going to be kind of an interviewing, kind of sit down and meet and greet, very, very similar to this pretty much, and
yeah.
with other brewers and other entrepreneurs and businesses and ideologies and people that we'd like to jam with pretty
yeah.
much. And so what we want to do is build that into a podcast mm-hmm. as well. So we have a three layered, and so you can listen to us, you can watch us, you can read us. And one thing that I've started to kind of take a personal project on is blogging.
Yeah.
So on our website, we have a brewer's blog, which the next one comes out Saturday. But it's pretty much a personal behind-the-scenes look at kind of what drives inspiration towards beer.
And yeah.
it's going to talk about some of the ideas that we have going on from a brewer's perspective. So sometimes it's going to be big science nerdy going into the science of the brewing process, and some other times it's going to be about, you know, our web of people here. And the first one was about finding your lane, your niche, as
yeah.
you mentioned before. And so that one was very personable for me, and in the sense that it really hits home when you surround yourself with people who, you know, who are driven just as you are,
yeah.
you know, in the same thing nonetheless. And so finding your niche, and from a business standpoint or a personal standpoint, it's, you know, it's very important to understand like what's important in your life. And that was kind of the first
yeah.
one. And so it's going to be kind of all over the map, just a way to, you know, connect with people.
Yeah. You do maybe your learning curve on hockey.
Yeah, no, it's we've actually discussed doing a funny game show to teach me the history of hockey a little more in depth. It's,
yeah.
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And do you have any events coming up that you want to plug?
Yeah, so events to tonight from 5 to 7, we have the Homebrewers Social Hour, which is going to be just kind of like a meet and greet, allow me to kind of meet a lot of the people who have reached out, bring in some of their homebrew and just chat inspiration ideas and be kind of fun with it. We are working on a lot of events in our VIP room, which is completely privatized little area. You get your own tap room and bartender, and you get a front row seat at the brewery. And so that's open for availability through our website and social media. And so, yeah, I mean, that's about it
All right.
for events.
All right. Well, thanks for the time today.
Absolutely.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank Bill again for taking time to talk to me. We sat around for another hour after the podcast just talking about beer and potential brewing opportunities for me in the future. While I was there, I was able to try both the Brut IPA that he was talking about. It's called The Beauty. It's kind of a champagne-based IPA, and it was incredible. Look for some articles about Brut IPAs, and there are not many being made right now, so it was really cool being able to try it. I also tried the Raspberry Picker. It's a cream ale with raspberries in it, which was really good. And then I took home two growlers. I took home their Chirp City Lemon Pale Ale, which was incredible. I loved it. And then I brought home the Stout Field. That's the stout he was talking about to appeal to baseball fans. So since the move is complete, I'm going to get back into writing articles. Focus a lot on Cardinals since we're right in the season and they're playing pretty well. I'm also going to try to get some more beer reviews out there, and hopefully in the next week I will be seeing Infinity War because of the move. I haven't been able to go see it yet. And hopefully Matt and Tony and I can sit down and talk about Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and Infinity War since we haven't talked about any of those yet. Check our website. It's nerdcast.com, NYRDCAST. Also find me on social media at Nerdcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much anywhere you can find social media. We are part of the IJOV It's the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. Check it for other great podcasts. I'm also part of the Potter and Family Podcast Network, which has hundreds and hundreds of great podcasts. So go on Twitter, do hashtag Potter and Family, and you'll find all kinds of great shows.
The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids.
This week's featured music is Fucking My Zone Up by D Dark.
I remember the days when they won't show me no love. I stayed on my grind, weren't depending on no luck. And had to go hard cause they won't do it for us. And I made sure no one was fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. I've made mistakes and I truly do own up. And I've learned from everyone I've made and grown up. Now I'm making sure no one's fucking my zone up.
Real talk, I've been through some shit that I really could have missed, then threw me off track. Knowing shit gets real when you fuck with niggas you thought who were down but ain't got your back. Never did I have the character that I move like an amateur. No, I would never slap, but sometimes distractions come in many shapes and forms. Better know that. Investing time and energy in a relationship that ain't meant to be. I could have spent my time trying to better me. Don't even drink but feel like a Hennessy. Messing up my vibe and my zone. Tell them that I would have declined if I'd known the problem was right under my nose. Guess that's how it goes.
I remember the days when they won't show me no love. I stayed on my grind, weren't depending on no luck. And had to go hard cause they won't do it for us. And I made sure no one was fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. I've made mistakes and I truly do own up. And I've learned from everyone I've made and grown up. Now I'm making sure no one's fucking my zone up.
Thought I was getting crazy, come up with a style. So many peeps wanna try to change me. A lot of things have slowed me down in the past, but I have never been lazy. I locked myself up in a room, working on my craft, now they ain't got a clue. Make sure the bars were tight and the bass went boom. Doing shit my peers can never do. So many negative vibes headed my way, really trying to fuck up my vibe. Wanna put a target on me, but I duck dive. And I seem to always make it out of the tough times. Some of you talk too much, but I know you ain't tough guys. Spitting off lies, going hard to the death like lost lives. Make up for the lost time.
I remember the days when they won't show me no love. I stayed on my ground, weren't depending on no luck. And had to go hard cause they won't do it for us. And I made sure no one was fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. I've made mistakes and I truly do own up. And I've learned from everyone I've made and grown up. Now I'm making sure no one's fucking my zone up.
I remember the days when they won't show me no love. I stayed on my grind, weren't depending on no luck. And had to go hard cause they won't do it for us. And I made sure no one was fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. Fucking my zone up. I've made mistakes and I truly do own up. And I've learned from everyone I've made and grown up. Now I'm making sure no one's fucking my zone up.